I don't know whether it was good fortune or misfortune, but I had the, I wouldn't say the pleasure, of going to school with two relatively famous young men at the time. Two of them were regulars in the Tigers team, and one of them went on to play for England. I'm talking about Dean Richards. So when we were preparing to go out onto the rugby pitch at school, the master made me take off my glasses. So as you can imagine, I didn't even know what field we were on. I was stumbling about like somebody who was absolutely didn't know what planet they were on. And the game got underway, and I was aimlessly walking along the pitch, minding my own business, and then suddenly somebody shouted, "Catch it!" And I recognised it was Dean's voice, and I thought, "What? Catch what?" And suddenly this ball landed at my feet, so I picked it up, and then somebody shouted, "Run!" And I thought, "Where? Run where?" And I could see this marauding pack of young people coming towards me, so I ran. And then I saw some posts, so I thought, this is it, I've made it. I'm going to do a Barry John, I'm going to fly under the posts, to which I did, covered head to foot in mud. I won't tell you the language afterward, but Dean came up to me and said, "You've only gone and scored under your own post." Why am I telling you this memory from yonder years? Well, Emmaus was 8 miles northwest of Jerusalem, and these two disciples were downcast, disappointed, discouraged, even after having heard reports of Jesus' resurrection, but did not believe. They went instead to Emmaus, missing the significance of the greatest day in history because they were too focused on their disappointments and problems, which were compounded by walking in the wrong direction. They were going towards their own goalpost, if you like, away from the fellowship of Jesus' followers in Jerusalem. And what struck me when I was looking into this in the week was that we're likely to miss Jesus and withdraw from the strength found in others when we're so preoccupied with our dashed hopes and frustrated plans. Only when we're looking for Jesus in our midst will we truly experience the power and help he can bring. Max Lucado, who has written on this passage, writes these words: "Your problem is not that your problem is so big, but that your view of God is too small." He goes on, "Meditate less on the mess and more on the master. Less on the problems and more on his power and promises." He had promised the disciples that he would die and come back to life 3 days later, but they still did not believe. Their hearts were hardened. They had hoped Jesus would redeem Israel, but their hopes had been shattered. They were in this state perhaps because God did not do what they wanted him to do. They saw the glory of the kingdom, but they failed to understand the suffering and the cost. So Jesus graciously walks with them and listens to them through their animated, heated conversations. No doubt they were quoting Old Testament prophecies and trying to remember what Jesus had taught, but they were unable to put it all together and come up with an explanation of what made sense. Was Jesus a failure, or was he a success? Why did Jesus have to die? Was there a future for the nation? How patient Jesus is with us as he listens to us to tell him what he already knows. But that we may come boldly to his throne of grace and pour out our hearts to him, and he will help us. You see, the longer Cleopas talked, the more he indicted himself and his friend for their unbelief. What more evidence could they want? Witnesses, including the apostles, the women, as Michael has just read, had seen the empty tomb. Angels had announced that Jesus was alive. Witnesses had seen Jesus alive and heard him speak. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this explains why Jesus opened the word to these two as they walked to Emmaus. As I've already said, their real problem was not in their heads, but in their hearts. They needed fresh understanding, and it was this that Jesus gave them. And he could have revealed himself at any time to these two. He could have done a Michael McIntyre. Welcome to my big show! You are tonight's unexpected star of the show. But he walks gently, quietly, opening the scriptures to these two, and eventually opening their eyes, and they realized it was Jesus. Not only that, but that Jesus is alive and right there with them. They didn't need any gimmicks. They didn't need any showmanship. What they needed to know and to see was that Jesus is alive. Isn't that true of us in our time? That we sometimes need to be reminded that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is here this morning, that Jesus is risen. And he's talking individually to each one of us. Their basic problem was that they did not believe all that the prophets had written about the Messiah. The problem of their day, they did not see Jesus as a suffering servant, the servant king, if you like, but they saw a conquering redeemer as they read the Old Testament. They saw the glory, but not the suffering. They saw the crown, but not the cross. And again, I'm quoting from the Apostle Paul. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. And he goes on, not that I have already obtained all this, or that I have already been made perfect. But one thing I do, and this is what I want you to take away this morning. The one thing that you do with Jesus is that you press on, that you never give up. It's easy to say, that's it. I'm packing it all in. That's it. I'm going to Emmaus. He comes alongside and he says, I am with you. We sometimes barely recognize that it's Jesus. And sometimes we need other people to remind us or to give us that word of encouragement, that word in season that we often hear about. Sometimes because our eyes are so closed, and the eyes of our hearts in particular are so closed, that when that intimacy comes, sometimes it comes in the most unexpected of ways or people. But Jesus is always there, and he always will be. They had talked with Jesus, and he made as though he would go on alone. They'd listened to him and wanted more, so they asked him to come in with them. And this is the most tender part of the story. Apart from being led through the scriptures of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Genesis, all the way through, they had been won by the word, and the living word was talking to them. The living word of God. They did not know who the stranger was. All that they knew was that their hearts were burning within them, and that they wanted that blessing to last. I've taken this picture off the wall at home, and it's of Jesus, the light of the world, by Holman Hunt. What fascinates me about this picture, apart from there being no door handle, that Jesus is knocking at the door. And at the bottom is a verse of scripture that means a very great deal to me individually. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to them and eat with them, and they with me. What Holman Hunt is trying to tell us here is that Jesus doesn't headbutt, barge, or force his way into our lives, but he gently knocks. And he's knocking this morning. Can I come in? Can I come in not only individually, but can I come in corporately? Can I come in to your heart? Can I come in to my church? For Jesus is Lord and Lord of all, but Lord of his church. He wants to come into our hearts, to have that intimate covenantal relationship with us, but he doesn't bully his way in. Jeremiah says, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Such was the burning in the hearts of these two as Jesus opened the scriptures to them. Now he opened their eyes so that they recognized him and knew for themselves that Jesus was alive. I didn't realize until I was preparing that these resurrection appearances, and speaking particularly to the women at the tomb, and to these two on the Emmaus Road, these were the very first words of the new covenant. The old covenant that Jesus was taking them through, reminding them, was being spoken by the new covenant in person. This was Jesus, whom that they were seeing in scripture, but now walking alongside them in person. The new covenant in person. That must have been an amazing thing and story to have recounted to the others when they got back. And sometimes we have this cozy view of, well, I wish I could have been on the Emmaus Road. I wish I could have had him talk me through the scriptures. But he does, and he wants to, which is why he's knocking at the door and wants to come in. Because he doesn't want us holding on to the coattails of someone else or someone else's faith. He wants to walk individually with every one of us. Isn't that an amazing thing on Easter Day to be reminded that the risen Lord wants to walk and talk and live in us? And when he does, when we let him, amazing things will happen. It'll take us from the isolation of the upper room. It'll take us from the failure of the past. It'll take us from the fear of the present. So I take these everywhere I go to speak. I'm well known now for my cue card. It'll release us from the loneliness because we're in Christ, the new covenant. Bear with me. This is where I wish I'd got an assistant. Restoring us. But this is the one I want to move on to. Oh no. Love and mercy is another one. Yes, he wants to redeem us and to forgive us. But this more than any. Transform. He wants to transform each one of us from what we are to what he wants us to be. It was fellowship with Jesus that disclosed his identity. Jesus revealed himself to those whose eyes had been opened through the word and truths of his word of scripture. It is not without significance that it was around the supper table that the disciples' eyes were opened and they saw Jesus for who he really is. After Jesus' resurrection, many of the appearances he made were associated with table fellowship. And isn't that a great reminder to us in our own age and time? That's where evangelism can often take place, the one-to-one round the table. Philoxenia is the Greek word, love of the stranger. It's the intimacy of fellowship Jesus reminds these disciples as he reveals himself to them. His working in our lives becomes clearer and his provision and protection come into focus, but when they recognized him, he disappeared. Fellowship with him was not going to depend on their ability to see him, but rather upon their taking him at his word. But once they recognized him, they could not help but share him. And isn't that the same with us too? That once we have met with the risen Lord Jesus Christ and our eyes have been opened, that you want to share him with others. Can you imagine the excitement that they must have felt? They had encountered the risen Lord Jesus and it had been emotional. It had stirred them on the inside. It had moved their very hearts of stone. So much so that once moved, they could not help but share. And so they make another journey, as dark as it was, as late as it was, as dangerous as the road was. They went back to Jerusalem. They gave witness that Jesus was risen, that he had walked with them and talked with them, explained the scriptures to them and broke bread at their table. And to end with, all who have experienced the risen Saviour should be moved with a similar emotion. All who come to know him should react the same way. Because we can't contain it and we can't contain him. We are his beloved. We belong to him. We are his creation. We are the created, made by the creative. We are his idea. We are his design. And that's true for every one of us, no matter how we feel, no matter what we've done or not done. It's true because he never changes. Knowing who Jesus is transforms who we are. I was pleased a few weeks ago that Michael did the welcome. And I've dug this out. The George Michael shirt. It's a replica. It's not the one I wore in the 80s. But it's similar to the one that Michael was talking about the other week. For Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. The word life is all over the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. We will live spiritually, even though physically we die, because Jesus came to give us life. He loves us as we are, and he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. This morning, we're reminded that our God is a God of new beginnings, a God of restoration and transformation. Do you know him this morning? Have your eyes ever been opened to who he is and what he has done for you, for me? Do you know that he walks with you and talks with you? And it's been wonderful to hear over the last few weeks the many varied ways that God is speaking to individuals within our congregation, but sharing that God has been talking with them. Because that's what personal relationship is all about. Can you testify to his presence in your life? Do you have fellowship with him? Has your experience with him been so real, so moving, so life-changing that it has caused you to tell others about him? I think in a minute we may have a video of a song that was given to me at the end of last year, and the theme of the song is "He Still Reigns and He Is Still God." To the women who went to the tomb that Easter Sunday, God was saying, "I still reign and I'm still God." To the two walking on the Emmaus Road, downcast and full of despair, "I still reign and I'm still God." To Peter, to Thomas and the rest of them when he met them, "I still reign and I'm still God." To Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, who was travelling on another road in another different way. Yes, the Lord had to reveal to himself to Saul in a different way than he did to the two on the Emmaus. But he still said, "I still reign and I'm still God." And this morning he's saying, "I still reign and I'm still God." We thank God for his word as we prepare to come around his table. I want to share this video with you.